life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.
You are listening to Dynamite in the Brain with Brian Smith and Anthony Askew. Tonight's episode, Riding Bean. Also, a very old introduction because these notes I wrote were from started in 2018.
Has it aged well?
That introduction, it still works. But yeah, we also need to say, we are joined by Gary Hedges.
Hello!
Hello.
Oh, Gary.
For some reason, I'm coming in hot through my headphones. I don't know why. That's fine. It looks fine on the levels, but just thrown me a little bit. Okay, we are talking Riding Bean from 1989, the brainchild of Kenichi Sonoda. And by Jove, they say a lot on the Animego website to describe it, so let's give it a go. They introduce it first as, think of it as lethal a weapon. It's not. in Chicago, Ace Courier, Bean Bandit, rules the road and operates on both sides of the law. When it absolutely positively has to be there now, Bean Bandit is your man if you can afford his rates. Worried about the getaway from your next heist? Leave the driving to Bean. Unfortunately for Bean, and even more unfortunately for Chicago PD's insurance company, he's about to have to demonstrate why he's so expensive. The plot begins to thicken when Bean drives getaway from a robbery, score 6 police cruisers and 1 18-wheeler. The crooks are a little ticked off to find that Bean's flat rate fee accounts for almost all of their proceeds. But business is business. Curiously, as soon as Bean leaves, their annoyance disappears. The next day, Bean and his heavily armed assistant, Rally Vincent, deadly with both gun and frying pan, receive a visitor with a young girl in tow. The visitor barely has time to beseech them to return the girl to her father before a hit team Swiss cheeses Bean's apartment. Unfortunately for him, he doesn't have Bean's taste in clothes, all Kevlar, including his underwear. Bean and Rally bundle little Chelsea into the car and make tracks. Alas, what they don't know is that the kidnappers have already made off with a $2 million ransom, leaving them to take the rap. Will Bean discover the ruse in time and get the money for himself? Will he be able to evade the relentless pursuit of Inspector Percy? Will Chicago PD's insurance company raise their rates? Find out by watching Riding Bean, one very high-octane action-adventure set in Chicago with lots of details of the city.
Lots of details of the city. That's long-winded for, like, what, 38 minutes? 40 minutes?
That's a good chunk of the show.
Yeah.
This was directed by a couple of people. Yasunori Ide. And you may know, probably don't know from anything, but apparently Thunderbirds 2086 he was involved in. And Yasuo Hasegawa. I think we've run into, was it Please Twins we watched the first episode of on the Weekly
Onegai
Retro?
Twins, yeah.
Weekly Retro Recap. Please Teacher and Hana Ukiyo Maid Tai. And most of the things were handled by Kenichi Sonoda. Looking on both the Anime News Network thing and the Japanese Wikipedia page, no one seems to be admitting to writing the screenplay. Kenichi Sonoda gets story credit, but there does not seem to be, like, a screenplay credit for it.
Hmm.
And our two leads are Hideyuki Tanaka as Bean Bandit, who you may know as Otacon from the Metal Gear Solid series, Don Quixote Doflamingo from One Piece, and Terry Man from Kinnikuman. And Rally Vincent is played by Naoko Matsue, who we constantly run into on the anime that didn't make us, but you probably know her as Sonoko Suzuki in Conan. And just in the past few months, she's the lead in Dino Girl Gaoko on Netflix. This is not the voice of Rally in Gunsmith Cats. She was played there by Michiko Nea. And it's a very much a different Rally in that one.
Is there another One Piece voice actor in this? I'm not trying to catch you out here, but there's a character who you hear over a radio and who shows up towards the end, and I thought he sounded like Usopp. That's just like off my ear.
Yeah, Usopp's not in this, so.
Ah, is there somebody else, for another One Piece person? Because anyway, the voice sounded familiar, but I guess.
I don't know who that character is at the end. Is it Dick?
You know which one, like the dude who has...
Dick Ryan, is that, oh, that must be the guy. Or is Dick Ryan the guy who's driving the getaway vehicle?
No, Dick Ryan is Percy's pal.
Ah, okay.
So there's like another...
Yeah, okay, he is, like, yeah. There's like two person. Other henchmen who I don't really know what their names are.
I'm going to pretend it's the voice of Usopp. Just, that's sound
right. Because, Semmeling the villain seems to constantly produce extra henchmen who don't last very long. Particularly at the end, I was very confused. I was like, how is Carrie disguised as that really tall man? And then Carrie shows up as well. And then I was like, who's that really tall man?
Yeah, like, where did he come from?
Okay, so this was released in the UK way, way back in 1993 on VHS by Anime Projects, where you could pick it up for
£12.99. I mean, I was about to say that's not a bad price, but then I remember how long this is.
Yeah. Well, it was about the same for the Gunsmith. It's better value than the Gunsmith Cats tapes were after the first volume. Because the second volumes were like half an hour each. Mm. And then it was released again by MVM in 1999. It's now gone up to £14.99 on VHS.
The buggers.
And then finally, there was a DVD release in 2001 for £17.99, but it was a limited edition of 500, and it came with the Gunsmith Cats Bean Bandit graphic novel.
That sweetens the deal a little bit.
It does sweeten the deal a little bit, unless you're such a Gunsmith Cats fan or Bean Bandit fan that you've already bought it.
Yeah.
It's one of 500, though. So
yeah, exactly. Very highly collectible. That's just how little they thought they were going to sell of it. And obviously it's had a recent Blu-ray release in America by Animego. So, had any of us seen this prior to watching it for the podcast?
I have.
You had, okay.
Multiple times. I did an AMV with this like years and years and years and years ago, which I tried to dig up. I thought I had it uploaded on YouTube, but apparently I don't. It was at...
Do you have it on animemusicvideos.org?
I should have really checked that. I might let us talk and search at the same time. But it was for a convention. I did it. It was Death Proof with this as well as Gunsmith Cats clips.
Okay.
So yes, I've seen this years ago, like long, long, long time ago.
Let's find Senge.
Stop laughing, right?
Animemusicvideos.com.
Yeah. I've got to put a link
to... I didn't even know that website still exists. Adds his
profile in the...
I might have to delete the bio then if that's the case.
It's not the bio you got to worry about, mate.
Please link it.
Oh,
please,
I know. Bear in mind...
Link it for the listeners before he deletes it.
I've stuck it in the comments for you, Gary, to have a look at.
Bear in mind, this is from maybe... 20... No, not 20 years ago. Like 16 years ago?
That's probably... You joined 2003.
For the people listening, how old were you back then, roughly?
Oh, sorry, how old was I then? I was like 17, maybe? 18? 17? I don't know. Either way, it's a long, long time ago, and I am not reading that bio. But anyway, long story short, there wasn't enough clips. As much as I enjoy Riding Bean, there's not enough of it for an AMV. Whereas the whole Death Proof, I don't know if you've seen the film, is the idea that these girls fight back to Stuntman Mike's character. And so all the girls' clips is obviously from the Gunsmith Cats. And then everything with Stuntman Mike, Kurt Russell, is Bean Bandit. So yeah, obviously I've watched this a few times when I was in prep, as well as multiple times when editing it for like to get the clips and all.
Iacon 2009, and you can download it from animemusicvideos.org.
There you go.
That profile picture is glorious, by the way.
It It's very of its time. It's aged a lot worse than the intro for the podcast did. God. Yeah, should, it's got my email and shit on that.
It's got a link to your MySpace. Does that still work?
Oh, I hope not. Oh, let's get rid of this. I'm sure I deleted my MySpace account. Like,
I didn't dare click the link.
I'm sure I've deleted that. Either way, some of these are getting deleted out. I'll leave the bio, but like the.
It reminds me of when I stumbled across my live journal for the first time in a similar amount of time lapse.
Oh, I deleted that a long, 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 long time ago.
I would have done, but I couldn't remember either the email address I signed up with it or passwords or anything, so it's just stuck there. Just hopefully no one will find it. So interestingly, prior to watching this, I actually couldn't remember if I'd ever seen Riding Bean. Having sat and rewatched it, as I discovered, watched it for the first time, I had not. It was one of those things that it was something I was always very aware of and its connections to Gunsmith Cats, but I couldn't remember if I've actually sat and watched it or if what I was remembering was just Bean's cameos in Gunsmith Cats. Having now watched it, that was what I was remembering. So I was actually watching it for the first time, believe it or not.
Same here. Yeah, I've read some of his appearances in the comics, in the Gunsmith Cats comics, because my brother used to pick them up. Though clearly those details I'd forgotten, because when we were recording Secret of the Sailor Madness with Niall and Dwayne, Niall reminded me of exactly why Bean is so indestructible. That he goes ahead and actually gives a proper description explanation of it in the comics. No, this is the first time I've seen this, and also the first time, as I'm saying this, I've seen Anthony's Death Proof trailer.
There you go.
That threw me slightly there, because I was downloading it as we were talking. So this was the first time I've seen this. However, I have seen the Blues Brothers, so I have seen some of this before. According to IMDb, some of the chase scenes are rotoscoped from the Blues Brothers.
No way! See, I've never seen the Blues Brothers, so... Huh.
Yeah. To the point where I was like, okay, right, I need to start a new Tumblr. Because I had that in the back of my mind as a thing to do for a panel someday. When we did the Dirty Pair episodes, and we kept on running across Blues Brothers references in those. So I've now started a Tumblr. So whenever I see a Blues Brothers reference, I can rush to that Tumblr, write down it in notes form, and if there's eventually enough, then it'll be a panel.
Sounds good.
Because, I'd have to check whether it is rotoscoped by digging out the Blues Brothers and comparing the scenes. Ideally would be layering one over the top, wouldn't it? That would be a good thing to put in a panel.
People would go, it would look good to see.
It would go. So hopefully that is true. I was like, oh yeah, particularly is the immediate, like the pileup of the police cars. I assume that is taken straight from the Blues Brothers because that's one of the famous things the Blues Brothers does. But then there's also the car that, the villain Hotwires at the end has the number plate of the Bluesmobile. And obviously set in Chicago and, and also the Shelby, Cobra in Gunsmith Cats also has that number plate. But not the Cobra which shows up here, because that's somebody else driving it in this one.
I was just going to say, the Gunsmith Cats don't steal Thingy's Cobra, do they?
No, they're entirely different. I think it's an entirely different timeline. So the Bean Bandit in that isn't necessarily the one in this. So this one may well be bulletproof. As opposed to just putting armor plating in everything he wears, including his headband.
I like to think he's bulletproof.
I particularly because, there's a realization I got towards the end, which I'd never dawned on me reading his comic appearances. I was like, that makes sense. But we'll get to that as we go through the story. But first of all, I need to find out whether we liked it. Gary, did you enjoy watching this for the first time?
I did. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Even if anything, I was like, wow, I would have, like, the fact I was watching it now didn't detract from how much I enjoyed it. I was just kind of sat there like, wow, as a fan of Guns with Cats, I really should have watched this in the 90s because I would have loved it back then. But no, it was great fun. Really enjoyed it.
Anthony.
Yeah, I think it's... I mean, I'd forgot a big chunk of the story, like some like the double-crossing, well, not double-crossing as such, but all the plot I'd pretty much forgot. But I think it holds up. I think there's some good gore, good violence. Some great chases.
Yeah, the chase scenes are great. I love the chase scenes.
Even if they are rotoscope.
I don't think they all are, but... yeah, I'm pretty sure there's no cars which can switch their wheels to a different cross section and start going driving sideways in the Blues Brothers. Okay, I'm going to be the person who disagrees with the other two in this podcast, I guess.
Stickler.
There's good sequences in it, but the middle bit sags, and also the middle bit you go, oh, of course, this is Kenichi Sonoda, so therefore we have to get some. It's just all things Kenichi Sonoda likes, including icky things involving child prostitution. And also the animation in the middle is a bit off, presumably because they put all their effort into doing the chase and action scenes, so that the talking heads bits are just there.
It's so short though, like those bits happen in a blink of an eye.
And characters showing up who aren't really introduced and an integral part of the villain's plan. It can confuse a stupid person, and I was confused. It's not terrible. The other problem is I've seen Gunsmith Cats first, and Gunsmith Cats has similar problems, but it's a better product. Top to bottom. And even Gunsmith Cats has the problem of the first episode's better than the second and the third episode. The ideal version of this is the first episode of the Gunsmith Cats OVAs. But there's still things to like in this, I would say.
Oh, God, yeah.
But it probably also could have been better, directed better. It feels like... one of the things is, like, the Gunsmith Cats goes really ridiculous on the detail of Chicago, and this feels like it goes ridiculous on some detail, but some stuff, which just makes the other stuff seem incredibly bland when it doesn't go that far in detail on the backgrounds and stuff.
So you think it's mainly just lacking that consistency?
Yeah, I think so. And the plots, there's bits I like about the plot, but it does involve a lot of disguises which only really work because you're a cartoon.
Just a bit.
Yeah.
Now, I like some elements of that, but there's some elements which, again, I was like, oh, that'll come back. And that's a clever thing. It'll come back. But no, it doesn't come back. We open with this robbery taking place at a shopping mall by these two masked robbers. And then we see outside Baby Driver waiting to pick him up. Big Baby Driver. Baby Driver may be the other problem. Yeah.
What, as a character? Or?
No, in terms of seeing this sort of character shot in a much better way now. The getaway driver character and the getaway driving. I feel like I was wondering if the new Kickstarter project is just them rotoscoping Baby Driver car chases instead of Blues Brothers ones. But yeah, so there's these two people robbing the store, and they kill loads of guards.
So much over the top violence here.
Yeah. And, they want to, like, change the route, but, Riding Bees now, we'll stick to the route, and then eventually they, end up, there's a, jackknifed, that's the word I'm looking for, truck. Pay attention to this truck, it'll come back later. Which sends them off into a different route, specifically we notice that the robbers are telling him to take, and, yeah, then the cops all pile into it in a Blues Brothers style, pile into the truck in a Blues Brothers style fashion. Then they go past a security camera. So the smaller one of the robbers has taken their mask off, puts on a hat, and the security camera catches it. Does that ever come back? I don't think it does.
It doesn't. Yeah, what do you mean? It doesn't need to, because that's, I mean, it does come back, but it's not in a big sense. Okay, that's the whole plot to have him seen with the daughter.
Oh, okay. I just wasn't, so the other issue is I wasn't paying attention.
Because she takes a mask off, she then puts on a different wig.
Yes, that's what I got that bit. Okay.
At the point you're watching it, you're like, wait, why is she doing that? And like looking deliberately at the camera. And at the time, I'm like, what is this?
Okay, I must have missed the one scene where later on. Okay, yeah, gotcha.
Later on, that whole bit makes sense because you realize why they did it.
I like, in my head at the time, I was like, oh, they're not necessarily trying to do it to get like the ransom. I thought people were trying to sting Bean Bandit. So I thought they were just trying to get him as the culprit to kind of end his, well, not career, I suppose. Like somebody had a grudge against him directly. Whereas in reality, he's just a cog amongst the machine, which I'd have liked it if it was a more focal point to kind of get him, you know, double cross him, get him be the dude the police are after because they dislike him or they have bad blood or whatever else. But no, there's none of that.
No, okay. I just wasn't getting it then. I'm just too stupid for this show. I missed that scene, but I also didn't see, but I guess we've not seen the daughter at this point. So I didn't recognize the disguise as being the daughter.
Yeah. That bit makes more sense later.
Yeah. So I just missed that, whatever scene it was when that footage came back. Yeah. So they've got their pay and, yeah, he's fast asleep. Riley, he won't wake up. So Riley hits him on the head with just holds a cooking frying pan over his head.
That's after tasering him.
Yes.
Which puts him into a deeper sleep.
And this is where we learn that they've got a tap on the Detective Percy's phone.
He's a great character.
He is a great character. I was wondering if he was Dennis Farina, but Dennis Farina was still black haired at this point. So I wonder if there's a character in something else they've specifically borrowed for him. Then this guy shows up, who says he's the bodyguard of this girl who's asleep, and he's rescued her from kidnappers, and he wants to hire them. Can't go to the cops because the organization who kidnapped her have got people in the police force. So we need to rely on you. This is the first bit where the animation like really drops in this scene. Then he gets gunned down by mysterious assailants from across the road.
Swiss cheese.
Swiss cheese.
Bean just sits there, not taking any damage at all. He pulls his collar up. So I guess he is armored. He doesn't just take the bullets to the cheek. but it doesn't take it, it doesn't protect the top of his head. So, well, I guess
he's bulletproof. He's got his
headband to protect the vital parts of his brain.
No parts of the flesh are exposed. It's all covered by coat, gloves, bandana, and chair, apparently.
So then they drive off and then we see the guy who got killed stand up. We'd also seen earlier that the bandits were wearing masks under their masks. And now we see that one of the bandits was the man in disguise. There was a woman disguised as the bodyguard.
Is it Sema, her name?
According to the Wikipedia, it's different to what they've got in the subtitles, but,
right.
It is, Semmeling. But I think Carrie just calls them Sema.
Right.
How
did the bandits get a mask that looked exactly like this dude's daughter?
It's cartoon.
I know. I don't know why I've only just questioned that now. It's very... They confuse things by bringing in bandits. Riding Bean. They could have got away.
They're bandits, right. He's been bandit. That's his name.
Yes, and he even says they're idiots.
Yes, he calls
them like plot holes in their plan. And I think their biggest plot hole is confusing things by bringing him into it. I think they could have got away. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, so the conspiracy is that they kidnap the daughter in order to kidnap the father and also get two ransoms. They get the ransom for the daughter when the dad brings the ransom, and now they can get a ransom for the dad. And meanwhile, they're setting up Bean Bandit as the kidnapper of the daughter. So while they're investigating him, thinking he's also kidnapped the dad, they can get away with the dad. But the mistake they make is they use the same truck they use to block the road off at the start of the story. And all throughout, Rally's there being Bandit's sidekick. They try to get away in the truck. They also didn't figure on, the truck will need refueling at some point. But they've also got two other guys with them. They've got one who's driving the truck. I assume he was the one who must have driven the truck across in the first place.
I think so.
But then it turns out towards the end, there's another guy inside the truck in a car who we've not seen at all up to this point. And when they get out of the truck, during the final, extended car chase towards the end, Carrie's nowhere to be seen. So I was like, oh. As soon as they got out, I was like, oh, he's disguised as that man. But then you see later on, oh, she's in the back of the car with the dad. It's a lot of chase and action. Thinking about it, the second half is probably top notch because it's like, it would be one episode of TV, which would be entirely action.
And the last few scenes in there is great moments.
So I think it's probably better than I could give it credit for at first. So it's about three quarters good, one quarter bad. That second quarter, I think, is the weak point.
The scene with the father, I've forgotten his name for a second there, Mr. Grimwood. The scene where he's like in his jail.
Yes.
Like his prison, that entire scene is... that was a bit odd and unsettling, and it kind of felt out of place with the rest of the show, but...
Yes.
See, I think it's meant to just display how much of a horrible person that Sema is.
But you could do that without the suggestions that she's pimping Carrie out.
True.
Because obviously that ties into Minnie May's background in Gunsmith Cats. It's just something Kenichi Sonoda is unfortunately into,
likes.
I think, yes. and also the scene when they show, Sema Ling shows up in disguise with, Chelsea Grimwood at, Bean Bandit's office as well. That's not a great sequence either. But yeah, there's blooming Italian job, not Italian job, French Connection chasing ripoff as well here. I forgot about that.
So what, I'm sure, is that in the park?
Their
house.
It's when they're chasing under the what's it called? The transit system.
Oh, the overhead pass. Yeah.
Except rather than chasing a train, they're chasing cars. But
that looks great. Like I'm assuming the middle bit or the second bit you mentioned. That's when they go to the house. The dude's got the big Barrett 50 cal rifle. I liked all that.
Yeah, that's
well.
More in the middle.
Oh, so you're not right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
No, there's the two like, oh, here's the reveal of what the plot is not great. I don't think not executed well. As you say, part of the problem is it's a bad plan as Bean Bandit consistently does.
Yeah.
But
they
could
have got so much more mileage by having him as a reason to like pin it on him, but they don't.
No, he was just a patsy from the beginning. The robbery was a setup.
They just underestimated who they picked as a patsy.
Yes, they picked Violence Jack with a car, because that's what he feels like towards the end. Once he's indestructible and carrying that knife, which is pretty much Violence Jack's knife, I was like, oh yeah, with the size of him, his indestructibility, the fact he starts ripping car doors off and then throws a car.
And he gets squashed by a car and just takes it. And he's so good.
And his weak point is kids. He won't harm a kid. So when Semmeling takes her own partner as hostage,
he is not happy.
He's not happy, no. Yeah, so I thought there was going to be more tension towards the end, but it is kind of like, oh, hang on, though. It's just Bean and Rally are incredibly good at their jobs, and they feel these people are, as they say, amateurs and don't stand a chance. Mm-hmm.
But it is for $2 million. Like, they're obviously doing something right-ish.
Ish, yes.
It's a lot of money.
Yes, but what does Rally do? She tricks the guy into thinking that she's thrown the gun, but she's only thrown the...
Oh, so good.
Cartridge.
The clip, isn't it?
There's
yeah.
The bullet still in the barrel. And, Semmeling blows herself up.
There's plenty of good, which I didn't think I actually liked, but I've seen it a lot of times and I like seeing it, and where somebody's driving really, really fast in reverse or something, then they spin the car and they'll drive forward or vice versa. Like a quick rotation of the car while they're driving, like in one direction. I think it does plenty of that, and I like seeing that. Don't know why. I only learned that this weekend that I like seeing it.
I also thought it was quite amusing seeing the car's wheels turn 90 degrees and the car literally strafe.
And Bean's then press a man against a tree with this.
Yeah, Bean's car was... Yeah, and then like flip him over the car using the tyre. Yeah, Bean's car was great fun.
That's pretty much the story. They let Carrie go after they convince her that, her partner was not such a cool person after all.
Mm-hmm. Because we still don't know how old she is. Like, it's hinted that she's obviously young, but she's kind of just left out in nowhere to be a kid. How's she gonna fend for herself?
She should have thought about that before turning to a life of crime.
True.
Even though it was probably nothing to do with, she was probably dragged into it by the adults in the first place. But
yeah, definitely. I think the one thing that perhaps they were trying to display by the scene when she's tending to Grimwood at the prison is almost like that her whole mannerisms, she's been completely kind of brainwashed by Simmering.
Yeah.
I tell you what else I like as well. The last scene, they're surrounded by the police outside this car park or whatever else, and they drive out and the screen like fades to white. So it's like that. What's that film, man? My mind's gone to Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. So I like to think he dies at the end anyway.
Seems unlikely.
So, but it does, because the same thing happens in Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, where they've run out.
But Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid aren't indestructible like Riding Bean. They didn't have horses whose legs turned sideways. So they could...
Strafing horses.
So maybe that's why they didn't do another film, because they're like, oh, well, he dies at the end. It's fine. Because even the police acknowledge he couldn't get out of here. Not that the police would be right, but...
Exactly. And then most of the credits are the credits for the soundtrack.
It's a long credit. I kept fast forward and thinking, oh, there must be a post-credit scene. Because I looked at it, there's about 4 minutes of credits.
Yeah.
It's pretty long.
Yeah, you got to know who all these...
I, for one, loved the soundtrack. I thought the soundtrack was another thing I really enjoyed. It reminded me of why I like... There's a nostalgia element there, but a lot of the 80s, early 90s era anime, like, a lot of them had really cool soundtracks, and this was another one where I was like, I'm really enjoying the music in the background to this.
Yeah, the session musicians, everybody on this. But I think there are lots of session musicians who you've probably heard them on various hits of the 80s. Because I know David Garfield, who's the one in charge, is in a band with Steve Lukather from Toto. And I'm looking at these credits here, and there's a few names I recognise from them being mentioned on the Beyond Yacht Rock podcast. As like, they got this session musician in. That makes it slightly more yacht rock than it would be otherwise. but yeah, I don't think there's any real big names on here. But hey, you can't currently get the DVD or the VHS in the UK, but you can get the soundtrack album.
Oh, there you go, Gary.
Hey, sorted.
So it's streaming on Amazon Music for free if you've got the Amazon Music. Not for free, but if you've got the subscription. But it's probably on Spotify as well, I would guess. So, yeah, I don't know whether it's exactly the soundtrack or whether he's re-recorded it, but, hey, it sounds, if you like the soundtrack, then it's definitely the guy behind it doing it, so it's not like a covers, but some of those bands and those people would like, I think you'd re-record it to make sure you got all the money, due to various contracts and things, so like a lot of 80s classic rock bands, sometimes you can't get the version you remember hearing, because for contractual reasons and greed reasons on both ends. I mean, somebody was greedy in the 80s to try and stop the band from getting all the money, and now the band are greedy in the 2000s, and so they're going to re-record it, even though their voices and rhythm might be now shot.
Yeah.
I don't know. This 2001, this album was.
I've got to get this off my chest right now. I was Googling Kenichi Shinoda, and apparently it's also the name of some like Yakuza gang lord. It's like a nickname he goes by. So I was like, this guy looks like he looks like trouble. And apparently I was looking at the wrong Kenichi Shinoda. So
I don't know who Shinoda is. Kenichi Shinoda.
I know that's what I'm saying. When I was Googling it, it brought the wrong one back. So I was like, this guy looks like a bothersome character. So that makes sense. So yeah. That'd be cool if he's living that double life.
Oh, you went
to
Shinoda.
I would recommend people watching this.
So yeah,
I was looking at Shinoda.
Yes, not Sonoda.
So I know.
Hey, this Yakuza guy, he's got his own Wikipedia page.
Oh yeah. He's well dressed anyway. I would recommend people watch this. I think it's so, like, you can get through it in a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
It's so short.
It's not that long, and I think if people... It's a tricky one, because, as Brian said, having watched Gunsmith Cats first will potentially taint people's views on it, but I think if people liked Gunsmith Cats, then they probably can't go wrong by watching Riding Bean.
I prefer Riding Bean to Gunsmith Cats. There you go, I said it.
You did. I don't know why would you say such a thing?
I'm not going to say that I would like it more than Gunsmith Cats. I think the problem with Riding Bean is it's just this one episode. I think I would definitely have liked to have seen a full series of Riding Bean, or even if they somehow just amalgamated that and Gunsmith Cats and just did some episodes of GSC where Bean was the focal point, or even it was like, I don't know.
Well, he does show up in the comics. Yeah, Gunsmith Cats would be the thing you'd make into a TV series, because there's more of it.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And it would involve Bean showing up.
He'd show up like the Punisher shows up in Daredevil, and, you know, they've got like a little Netflix franchise.
I was
going
to say, I think Bean would probably get even more popular if the only time you saw him was in Gunsmith Cats and he only turned up on occasion to help
like,
rally
a
co out. People were like, they're like, who's this guy? We want more of him. Like, this guy's amazing. He just turns up, does some epic car chase scenes, he's indestructible, blows stuff up, and helps rally a May out.
In fact, I'm sure when we did the Gunsmith Cats episode, I said then I preferred Riding Bean.
Yeah, I wonder though if you watched them back to back whether you would think that.
Yeah, I mean, how many years ago did we do the Gunsmith?
Oh, a fair old while ago.
So at that point, it had been a long time since I'd seen Riding Bean, and now obviously that situation's flipped. Let's have a look. April 27th, 2014.
There we go. So, almost 6 years on the dot.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
So does the manga of Riding Bean expand? Is there a lot more to the manga than
No,
the
I think there was just enough to warrant making this.
Oh, and that was it. Okay.
I
think seeing from the wiki page that the manga itself, even that got cut off before it could be finished.
I don't need backstories for Riding Bean. You know what I mean? Like, I get like, it's always nice to have more of something that you might want to learn about, but it's fine. One one-shot is enough.
Well, apparently we're going to get the new anime on Kickstarter.
Well.
Supposedly it made 23 million yen.
I feel like
it's
not needed.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I wouldn't have backed this even if I was a Riding Bean fan, you know.
No, I didn't.
Because I feel like when I was backing, I think the only animation things I've backed are Bee and Puppy Cat and Kickheart. And they were like, they're proven things. It's like, and it was already episodes of Bee and Puppy Cat out. So it was like, it's just finishing the series and you'll get them digitally and whatnot. And Kickheart, it's like, it's a proven creator, and it's not asking too much. It's making a short.
Yeah. I mean, I like Ryan Bean, but
I'll
watch as if it happens or when it happens.
It's not like Kenichi Sonoda's been pumping out anime constantly over the past decade that makes you say, yes, I'll back him now because he's surely going to get this out. Yeah, I don't know. It feels like a project which will have a lot of people in the comments asking where it is. Indeed, the most recent one is...
For like the next 6 years.
Yeah.
That's just not necessary.
I was just trying to work out from the Kickstarter how much... I've not watched the video, admittedly. How long they're actually planning to make. Because I'm reading this thing that says about the stretch goal. What's the point of doing just an extra 5 or 10 minutes when we can aim to do 20? So I'm like, wait, are they only making one episode?
Yes. I'm sure that's all they're doing.
That's a hell of a lot of yen for one episode.
See, to me, that's more encouraging. If they were like, stretch goals were like, we'll do an extra 5 minutes. Because you know that extra 5 minutes is going to be...
A car chase.
Which is fine, but it feels like they're stretching out something that could be better condensed.
Mm.
But in fact, I'm slightly more excited by it if it is only one episode.
Well, there's lots of production sketches and things on the...
I was looking at that and they look okay, to be fair.
Yeah.
As sketches should. We'll see.
We will see, indeed. The picture of the car looks very CG, though. We shall see. Anyway, I'm not necessarily recommending this. I'd recommend the first episode of Gunsmith Cats. That's about as far as I'd go. So
not even the other two, or?
Yeah, I didn't really feel the other two.
I don't think Ryden Bean has long enough to outstay that welcome. Because weren't the Gunsmith Cat OVA episodes, like, were they like 40 minutes long as well?
The first one was like 40 and the others were like TV length, I think.
Yeah, because I felt like it was too long. And by the way, Gary, it's only £172,000, 23 million yen.
So really that doesn't seem enough money.
No, maybe do a 5 minute short instead.
About it.
It's possibly that they're only using this to cover, like, distribution costs and things, not actual production costs.
True. What was the last thing Sonoda did?
He does loads of comics still.
Okay.
I don't know what he's showed up in anime for.
So the interesting thing with this is that May would be in it.
Well, yeah, it looks like it's set in the Gunsmith Cats universe or a third universe, not this one. Mm.
See, I would like that interaction. I think that would be good to see.
Salty Ray, he did the gun and pre-suit design on Salty Ray.
Salty Ray. Is that Ray, R-E-Y?
R-E-I, I think.
Yeah.
2005.
God, what a year.
15 years ago.
Yeah.
So it'll soon be retro anime. October 2005.
Jeez.
Yeah, I think he's just one of those people who's like, he had his period when he was the in-person for character designs with Galforce, Bubblegum Crisis, And, yeah, his time has passed.
He's not dead. Then again, he must be getting on a bit. Oh, he's only 57? That's younger than I expected, actually.
Yeah, so he'd have been he'd have been 26 making this.
Wow. What was I doing at 26 in contrast, geez?
I'd just gone back to uni. Actually, no, I think I'd graduated uni and gone back to work.
Now it's time for Brian's anime ranking game.
Oh, yes!
Oh, so, I hate this because I always rank stuff far different to everyone else. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, you did. You didn't you do the opposite?
So, I think...
Let's do the game first.
Yes, oh, okay. We'll see how well it goes this time. So I've given you a list of 14 anime about driving cars. And...
I copied into a notepad, Doc.
I'm copying a notepad. And so...
Where's the notepad, Doc?
Well, I don't know about notepad, but you're in the...
Oh, it's on my computer, Gary.
I'll stick it in the chat as well if you're not in the... it's in the show notes.
See it.
It's under Brian's game.
Oh!
Very well labeled.
There's actually separate pages. I'm a professional, I promise.
I was going to say, most of the pages were the description of the, they put on the website. So yes, there's 14 anime shows about racing that appear on IMDb. So some which I couldn't find, they may be under IMDb under names I couldn't find. So if I don't mention your favourite, I couldn't find it. So we've got Arrow Emblem, Hawk of the Grand Prix, Bakusuo Kyudai Let's and Go, Boo Boo Cha Cha, Capetta, X Driver, F, Future GPX Cyber Formula, Goddamn, Hey Boom Boo, Initial D, Redline, Riding Bean, Speed Racer, and Supercar Gattiger. So, of these 14, 10 of them will be in the top 10 ranked anime driving shows on IMDb. So, you want to name ones which you think are in the top 10, but you want to aim the highest
back
position.
End.
Yeah, the back end of the top 10. So, 10, if you guess who's in number 10, you'll get 10 points. If you guess who's at number 1, you only get 1 point.
Gotcha.
And this is based on score... Not necessarily popularity.
Ah, so something could have 2 votes.
Yes, and those 2 people might absolutely love it.
Super fans.
And that might place it at number 1.
Right. Oh, is this a hint?
I'm assisting myself by quickly Googling imagery for each.
Whoa, you can't do that.
No, just imagery, just so I can see what they look like, because I'm going to use that to help me determine where I think they would place based on what they look like.
But you might Google and see like 1 result back and think, oh, well, that's going to be a 1 lower down.
No, I'm just doing an image search. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm busting to know what Supercar Gattiger looks like. I think that's a cool title.
We'll start with Gary. And
you're
going to get 3 guesses each. So, Gary, your guess first.
Of this list, I got to pick Redline.
Redline. That gets you 4 points.
Hey!
That's lower down than I expected.
That has a score of 7.5, but it has the most amount of votes at 10,475.
It's a cracking show.
Anthony.
I feel like I can go for a little bit of a safe bet now. You know what? No, I'm going to go for Future GPX Cyber Formula.
That gets you 7 points, Anthony. Hell, that has a score.
I feel like that's a PlayStation game as well.
It probably is. There's lots of series of it as well. It's one of these really big series that nobody talks about because very few people have seen it. So at least outside of, well, in English speaking countries, I suspect it's been translated into other countries' languages. So yeah, that has a score of 7 and it's a number 7 and 42 people have voted. Have ranked
nice,
it on
thanks, 42 people.
Back to you, Gary.
I'm going to go for Boo Boo Cha Cha.
Boo Boo Cha Cha, that is the big scorer of 10 points.
Oh!
Hey! Okay.
I actually thought it wouldn't have made the top 10.
That's at number 10 with 6.3. So that gives you some idea of scoring now. So number 10 has got 6.3 and 18 people have ranked it.
I'm one
for
of them.
An average of 6.3. Anthony.
X-Driver.
X-Driver. Oh, that's another good one, Anthony. That gets you 9 points.
Oh, yes!
X-Driver has a score of 6.4, and 73 people have ranked it. That's the TV series, not X-Driver the movie. I didn't count that one as... whenever there was like multiple ones, I just counted the main one. Mm-hmm. And Gary, your final guess. You're currently 2 points behind Anthony.
Come on. Don't even break the list.
So, like, based on the looks, I'm going to go with the one called Goddamn, the Rally On.
Oh, and sorry, Gary, that was number 13.
Oh,
Goddamn.
I could retire a happy man right now.
Goddamn only scored 4.6 with 12 people voting for it.
Sad times.
So it's 0 points. Anthony, you've already won. Can you rub it in?
I can't. So hold on, how many? So that's one of the... There was a total of 13, right?
14 total.
14. Arrow Emblem Hawk of the Grand Prix.
Afraid that only gets you 3 points.
Oh, three?
Yes. That's
still more points.
That score is 7.7 and 56 people have voted for it.
Cool. So, I actually thought it was going to be too far out.
Here are your top 14. So number 14 with a score of 4.3, Supercar Gattaca. 24 people have disliked Supercar Gattaca enough to give it that lower score. Then you had Goddamn. Then you had F. That was 6.2. So your only two really bad ones, apparently, are Goddamn and Supercar Gattaca, according to IMDb. Number 11, Hey Bumboo.
That looks dreadful.
6.2. 99 people voted for that.
I wouldn't call that a car race. Well, I guess, is it racing?
I just said car. Car anime. I didn't say racing.
It looks like the cab from Who Framed Roger Rabbit was given his own show.
Then Boo Boo Cha Cha. Then X Driver. Then number 8, you got Riding Bean. 6.8. 628 people voting. Then Future GPX Cyber Formula. Then Bakuso Kowodai Let's and Go. With 7.1 and 256 people voting. Number 5, Speed Racer. Also 7.1, but 2,380 people have ranked that one.
Ah.
Then Redline, then Arrow Emblem, Hawk of the Grand Prix. Then 90. Number 2, Capetta, with 8.3 and 150 votes. And of course, at number 1, Initial D, 8.4, mm-hmm. 2,173 votes. So I guess we need to go and watch Capetta and Arrow Emblem.
Honestly, I was just looking at Capetta and I think, this looks pretty good. I like the look of the kid. Yeah, and also, if you search Capetta, you get pictures of people dressed up as devils, so it must be a word for devil or something somewhere.
Could be.
Yeah, promoting some Red sort devil. Of protein shake.
Oh, is it a protein? Oh. I don't know. Let's say in English. It must be a word for devil or demon.
Yeah, there's lots of demons.
Little but... devil. Is what Capeta means in Portuguese.
Aha.
So that'd probably be why they're dressed in red. And,
yeah. Demon
Ferrari
on the race
fans.
Course.
Yes, about a 10-year-old boy go-karting.
Oh, it's a bit less exciting now. Then again, they wouldn't put a 10-year-old boy into like an F1 car or something like that, would they?
Well, they might, but no, not in this
No, not in this one. And that Arrow Emblem one, that looks alright as well.
Yeah, I can't remember which one came first, that or the supercar. There's like a couple of them, I think, just after, like, cashing in on the popularity of, like, the first Japanese Grand Prix, I think.
Oh, that era, right.
Yeah, in the 70s, I was like, why was there suddenly two racing games, one after another? So I wonder if one is significantly worse than the other. And that's why Gattaca's not looked on fondly. So if Gattaca came after Arrow Emblem, maybe it's like, we wanted more Arrow Emblem. Or maybe Gattaca was so bad, then Arrow Emblem came along and they're like, well, this is amazing in comparison.
Mm.
I don't know, because I don't think they're particularly easy to see. Because not a great call for driving anime, either in Japan or when it is in Japan, for it then to be translated into English. I've seen a little bit of F, which I quite enjoyed. I don't know if it falls.
It didn't look too bad, actually.
That can't remember if it falls into my timeline for the anime that didn't make us. Right, yeah, that is everything we're going to done talked about relating to Riding Bean or the driving anime. Anything you want to plug, Gary, beyond staying inside?
No, not really, not at the minute. I'm good.
Anthony.
Just Twitch, which is Ant Askew, and also Twitter, which is also Ant Askew. Currently playing Deus Ex. Currently getting a bit annoyed by Deus Ex, but I'm starting to learn it now.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at awesome_engine. You can find me on Twitch at Let's Go Brian. I think that Let's Go Brian guy is still there on Twitter, so let's double check just in case I can steal it from him now.
Would you get rid of Awesome Engine for that?
Yes.
No. Or you just have a separate account?
That guy's still showing his torso off.
Oh, yeah. Why you drop the message? Any chance?
Oh, well, he's back using it now. He's broadcasting on you now. Well, he was in September.
Ah.
So last time we looked, he hadn't used it for ages. Maybe he heard someone who was after his account.
Yeah, like my online handle that I use most places, I don't have on Twitter, which is why I went the whole hog and just were like, well, if I can't have my online handle, I'll just use my real name on Twitter.
Yeah.
That way no one can steal that. Also, just, I don't know how it came up, but apparently there's an F-Zero anime. F-Zero GP Legend. Ooh. How did I not know about this? I love F-Zero. It's one of Nintendo's underrated series that never gets a sequel.
Then I forgot about it for this, this game.
Yeah, is it any good? Obviously Captain Falcon is the star of the show based on all the screenshots, which kind of makes sense. I'm curious to investigate.
Well, it's got 7.4 on IMDb with 82 people ranking it.
Super fans.
I think it aired.
Super fans only gave it 7.4. That doesn't sound good.
No, but they either hated it or loved it.
I think it aired on Comedy Central in America. Not Comedy Central. Cartoon Network. Oh. I say Comedy Central because I've been saying Comedy Central so much for previous hours before we did this podcast.
Looks like it's got Kunio-kun from River City Rampage in it, randomly.
We should watch an episode.
Yeah, we could do it for the podcast.
We could.
Maybe not the full series, I don't know.
Is it a whole series?
It's a whole series, yes.
Two seasons, apparently. Oh no, that's a different F-Zero. Is that the same F-Zero?
There's more than one. Anyway, save it for a future show that you guys may or may not do.
We can discuss this after the podcast. Aye. So we'll be back next week with something else. Until then, stay in your homes. Goodbye.
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 Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.